Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is WEEI.
If you're looking for a great paying part-time job with flexible hours, check out 2020 Census Jobs. Apply today at 2020census.gov/jobs to help strengthen your community.
The sports station for the city of champions. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
93.7 FM WEEI.
All right, away we go. If you want to hop on board, the number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so, taking you through your Labor Day Monday. If you want to weigh in on the Brian Hoyer contract with the Colts, now the Jacoby Brissett contract with the Colts, 2 years, $30 million, $20 million in guaranteed money. Jeez, the Colts are losing their damn mind. They paid a backup quarterback $12 million. And now they're going to pay another backup quarterback, because that's what Jacoby Brissett is. They're going to pay another backup quarterback $30 million with $20 million of that guaranteed. They have completely lost their mind in Indianapolis. And quite frankly, I don't really blame them. Look what's happened from an organizational standpoint. You went from being one of the competitors, one of the contenders in the AFC, to an absolute dumpster fire. Now, I understand Chris Ballard is a good football man in terms of he's a good executive and all that. He's drafted well. You can't dismiss the fact that he drafted two All-Pros last year in Quentin Nelson and in Darius Leonard. So you have to acknowledge the fact that he's been pretty good drafting. And Frank Reich, clearly that system that he put in place from an offensive perspective last year, it was advantageous to Andrew Luck staying healthy throughout the season. I believe, ironically, he suffered that injury at the Pro Bowl. Or he suffered it, rather, in that final game against the Chiefs. And then he still played in the Pro Bowl, which I would ask, why the hell was he in the Pro Bowl if he suffered an injury in a playoff game, especially a guy that has had a checkered past in terms of his injury history? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. But they go from having Andrew Luck to Jacoby Brissett and Brian Hoyer, a couple of former Tom Brady backups. And like I said, Jacoby Brissett was never even a Tom Brady backup. He was the third string quarterback behind Jimmy Garoppolo when he was a member of the New England Patriots. So Jimmy G got paid, Brian Hoyer got paid, and now Jacoby Brissett got paid. So all these guys that used to be employed by the Patriots are getting long-term contracts with other organizations. I guess technically Brissett's isn't a long-term deal, but nonetheless, you look at the fact that this guy is going to get a two-year $15 million each of those years, 2 years, $30 million, $20 million guaranteed. All right, so speaking of another former Patriot, this of the coaching variety, and that's Brian Flores. So the Dolphins made a couple of moves, and I got into them briefly yesterday over the weekend, where they essentially traded Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills to the Houston Texans. And what they got back for them was two first-round draft picks and a second-round draft pick. So if you look at it from the Miami Dolphins perspective, they actually received more back for Laremy Tunsil and for Kenny Stills than the Oakland Raiders got back for Khalil Mack. Think about that for a second. Khalil Mack is one of the best defensive players in the league, top five defensive player in the league without question. And Laremy Tunsil, according to Pro Football Focus last year, ranked 36th amongst tackles. And the Miami Dolphins were, And the Miami Dolphins were able to get back two first-round draft picks and a second-round draft pick. unbelievable. Okay, so I said yesterday, this is an absolute fleecing that the Miami Dolphins put on the Houston Texans. Embarrassing from the Texans' perspective, and Bill O'Brien should be ashamed. He's defending the moves today. Bill O'Brien, another former Patriot guy, man, the whole show is like former Patriots today. But nonetheless, when you look at it from Bill O'Brien's perspective, the reason they're in this hole is because that franchise has been incompetent for the past 5 years. They thought they were going to get Nick Caserio. They didn't realize he had this clause in his contract, so they couldn't get him. At the draft, they were supposed to take Andre Dillard, the kid out of Washington State. Philadelphia leapfrogs them, and Philadelphia is in a position where they already have Jason Peters and Lane Johnson, two tackles. They're developing for the future, and they still get the guy that the Texans wanted the whole time, and the Texans reach on Tytus Howard. And the reason they have to trade for Laremy Tunsil is because Tytus Howard's not ready to play as a rookie, and their other left tackle is Matt Khalil, who sucks. So Bill O'Brien's team is an absolute dumpster fire, and the Miami Dolphins completely fleece them. Completely fleece them. So I give Brian Flores and Chris Greer, the general manager there. By the way, Chris Greer, UMass grad. I give those guys a ton of credit for what they've been able to do. And I've said on this show, I thought that Brian Flores was crazy for taking the Miami job. But now what I'm seeing is maybe Stephen Ross is going to let these guys play it through. And he's going to let them tank and rebuild that way. And we haven't seen that in the NFL, right? We saw Sashi Brown in Cleveland try to do it, and he got fired midway through the process. Now, John Dorsey in Cleveland got the benefit of that because he got a bunch of high draft picks. He got the number one pick, so he got to take Baker Mayfield, and he had basically his choice. Any of those quarterbacks he wanted, he could have taken Sam Darnold. He went with Baker Mayfield. It looks like at least after 1 year, he was proven right with that move. But also, what Sashi Brown left John Dorsey with was a ton of draft capital so he could go out and make a trade for an Odell Beckham Jr. to be able to acquire a star-level player. So the Cleveland Browns situation, it kind of worked for them. Now, Sashi Brown wasn't able to completely see it through, but it kind of worked for them. And now Miami may be in the same position. And they are starting this off by ripping off the Houston Texans because Houston became a desperate organization. And I would imagine that some of this, in terms of the Texans, they look at it as Deshaun Watson has taken more hits than any other quarterback in the league over the past couple of years. And you also look at it, they're seeing Andrew Luck, what went on with him in Indianapolis, where he ended his career abruptly because of all the injuries. They're thinking to themselves, we got to protect this player going forward. But here's the thing. The problem with the NFL nowadays is too many teams overvalue the left tackle position. It's not like it was in 1990. Like, a lot of teams will put their best pass rusher on the other side. Like, Von Miller rushes from the other side, so you got to make sure your right tackle's there. From an offensive line standpoint, it's about the five guys. It's not about one of them, right? So Laremy Tunsil, like I said, he's a decent left tackle. He was 36th, according to Pro Football Focus last year, ranking in all of football in terms of tackles. So each team, there are two starting tackles. He ranked 36, which is pretty good. But here's the problem. The Miami Dolphins still had the 31st ranked offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus. So even if Laremy Tunsil was a pretty good player, he wasn't elevating the entire offensive line. It's not like when you have a good quarterback, he can basically mask a lot of your deficiencies. It's not like when you have a great pass rusher, he can mask some of the deficiencies you have on the back end. Or vice versa, where you have a guy like Stephon Gilmore in the back end who's a lockdown corner, he can hide some of the issues you have from a pass rushing standpoint because he can be in coverage longer than some of the other cornerbacks around the NFL. It's not the same thing with the left tackle. If the right tackle sucks, it doesn't matter how good Laremy Tunsil is because you're getting after the quarterback. So what the Texans did is they overvalued that position. So now what they did is they took themselves out of position in the next two drafts to draft in the first round. So in 2020 and in 2021, they have no first round picks. So maybe there was a premier tackle or a premier center or a premier guard, whatever the case may be. Or on the flip side, on the defensive side of the football, a blue chipper, you can't get them and you've put all your eggs in the Laremy Tunsil basket, who's a good left tackle, but not a great left tackle. So it was just terrible decision making by the Texans. But when I look at it from Miami's perspective, it was a great deal for them. But Brian Flores today said this, quote, he was asked about the Dolphins and the perception that they're tanking. And he said this, "This game means a lot to me. I wouldn't disrespect the game with we're not going to try to win every game. We're going to come out. We're going to work hard. We're going to fight. We're going to play hard and we're going to try to win every game. That's what we do. This team is motivated. We've got some talented players. We're going to go out there and we're going to try to win every game." Okay, that's right. It's not like the players on the football field are actually trying to lose football games. But organizationally, you can't deny the fact that what you did in terms of making those moves, and you just heard me, I've advocated for those moves. Those were the right moves for the Dolphins organizationally moving forward. They made an absolute right decision. 100% they made the right decision getting rid of Laramie Tunsil, who, oh, by the way, they didn't want to pay. And they got rid of Kenny Stills. And whether you're on the Kenny Stills side of things or Brian Flores side of things, I think we can all acknowledge now that those two guys clearly don't get along with everything that happened with the Jay-Z situation. They clearly were not on the same page. So a guy that you weren't going to keep there long term, and he only averaged 36 receiving yards per game last year, and you weren't going to sign Tunsil, and to get two first-round picks and a second-round pick for that, that is a ripoff, right? So I applaud the moves, but they can't really sit there and say that they didn't make their football team worse in the near term, right? The Miami Dolphins, despite the fact that they sucked going into the season, they're significantly worse today than they were yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was, when they originally made these trades, because the team does not have a left tackle. Laramie Tunsil's gone. He's no longer a member of that organization. So the quarterback is going to be, and in this case, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, under more pressure than he even previously was. And it's not like they had a good offensive line to begin with. So you are genuinely tanking if you're the Dolphins. Now, it's not like the players are going out there and trying to lose games, but this is what happened in the NBA. You just didn't put together with the Philadelphia 76ers a proper roster to compete at a high level. But with Philadelphia, and Sam Hinkie didn't fully get to see it through, what happened with Philadelphia is this team was able to build to the point where they landed a couple of big-time guys, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, because Sam Hinkie set the organization up to fail because he believed, let me get as many bites at the apple as I possibly can, because in the NBA you just need a couple of guys to build this future juggernaut in the NBA that I think could compete for championships, right? That's what Sam Hinkie's thinking. And now if you look at it, you have other teams around the NBA that are trying to do similar things. For example, the Chicago Bulls trying to acquire a ton of draft picks so they can be able to go up there and basically bank on getting big time picks and turning into a juggernaut in the league. We see Oklahoma City, right? They are able to get rid of Russell Westbrook, get rid of Paul George, and I get technically they didn't want to do that originally with Paul George, but now what happens is they got five draft picks for Paul George and like three more draft picks for Russell Westbrook, so they're in the Sam Hinkie mold where they're trying to tank so they can get bad, and all these draft picks actually work out for them in the long term, right? So here's the thing with the NFL. What Brian Flores is saying is we're not tanking. Okay, on the football field, you're going to try to win, and we understand the players are going to try to win, and Brian Flores is going to go out there every week and try to win games as a coach, but the reality of the situation is the way the franchise has currently constructed itself, you have set yourself up to lose. And I'm saying, I'm not basically criticizing what they're doing. I'm applauding what they're doing because it's a new look at how you can improve your NFL team. People in the NBA look down at it with Philadelphia, but now other teams in the league are doing it. So here's the fear that I would have if I'm the NFL, if I'm Roger Goodell. If this works for Miami and Miami acquires a franchise caliber quarterback, whether it's Tua next year in the draft or maybe after that, they're still so bad that it's Trevor Lawrence in the 2021 draft, and they hit on a couple of other blue chippers over the next couple of years, and Miami develops into like a consistent playoff team, and they develop into a team that you think has Super Bowl aspirations in the future. Well, you know what's going to happen is more teams around the NFL are going to start to try to copycat this, and they're going to try to do what Miami does, and that's where the NFL is going to get irritated if that happens in the long run, because I believe that Miami is employing the right strategy. I am shocked that not more teams have tried to do this, that more teams than the NFL haven't said, you know what's a good way to get good in this league is to tank so we can get the best quarterback and create more opportunities to draft high-level quarterbacks and then go from there. More teams should have been doing this for years. I get the Colts semi did it when Peyton Manning was out, but you had Curtis Painter at quarterback, right? I mean, it's not like you were going to win games. Now, the one thing that Brian Flores can sell to his team to basically illustrate to them that they're not tanking is he can say, look, we named Ryan Fitzpatrick our starting quarterback, because if you really were going to put Josh Rosen out there, then you'd really be saying to the guys in the locker room, yeah, we're quitting on the season. We are punting on the season, because Rosen last year only completed 55% of his passes. He was absolutely horrible. He was anemic, and I get it. He was playing in a situation that was not advantageous for his development there in Arizona, but at the same point, I mean, you got to show me some signs, and Josh Rosen showed us no signs whatsoever last year. So I really do fear that if Brian Flores went to Josh Rosen to begin the season, he would have been basically saying to his team, yeah, we're giving up on 2019. We're not trying whatsoever. At least with this one, you can sell to the guys in the locker room, look, we're building a new culture. We're rebuilding for the future. If you want to be here, perform at a high level this year, and we'll keep you here. I mean, that's what you can try to sell, is we're trying to build for the long term here. And if you want to be part of it, great. And Now we're going with Ryan Fitzpatrick. We're still trying to win in the short term, but we're looking for the long game. We want to be a force for a number of years in this league. We're not looking for a short-term fix within our organization, right? We're not like the Jacksonville Jaguars going after Nick Foles. We think that's going to solve our issues. I'm telling you, it's not. Foles had the perfect setup in Philadelphia with the offensive line, the receivers, and the play calling. He doesn't have that situation in Jacksonville. Bad O-line. No playmakers whatsoever on the outside. Who's their best receiver? Marquise Lee. They have nothing. So the point being, Jacksonville's trying to find a shortcut to be competitive again. It's not going to work. Miami's saying, let's go long term. Let's tank and figure this thing out for years to come. And if you can sell some of the players on that, great. But the point being, if you look at it, if he puts Josh Rosen out there, man, Brian Flores really looks like he would lose the locker room. And now he basically makes an easy transition to Josh Rosen at some point during the season, because ultimately Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to do what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. He's going to start the season. He's going to have a couple of nice games. Hopefully it's not against the Patriots in week two. But remember last year, Fitzpatrick had three straight games where he threw for over 400 yards to begin the season, and then he turned back into a pumpkin. That's what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. He plays well for like 3 to 4 weeks, and then he sucks because he's a mediocre quarterback, right? He's a good spot starter, like to use baseball terminology. That's what he is. So he will turn back into a pumpkin at some point, and he will suck because Ryan Fitzpatrick always at some point finds a way to suck, and then Brian Flores can put Josh Rosen in and see if Josh Rosen is actually a franchise quarterback. And when he finds out he's not, next year they go into the draft and they take Tua, or they take Jake Fromm, or they take Justin Herbert, and off they go trying to rebuild for the future. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you here on WEI. Let's get to Paulie's in Westfield. Paul, what's up, my friend?
Happy Labor Day, Brian. How are you, bud?
Good, good.
Three questions. Great analysis on Miami. So my question comes from what I just heard you say, which in summary, if the two first-round picks they robbed Texas for and tanking this year would add to it, yes, it's a good idea. Will other teams do it? My question to you is, in a million years, and any person an expert in football, would you ever believe Texas would fall asleep and give away two first-round picks for Larry and then two other nobodies? That's what Matt brought up. How often is that going to happen again?
Yeah, it's fascinating, Paul. You know what it is this organization, the Texans, they dug themselves a hole. They haven't been able to find quality linemen over the past couple of years. So they got so desperate that they said, all right, this is a guy that is at least a quality tackle, and we're going to give up two first-round picks for him. They were that desperate that they did it. So I could see another team doing it out of pure desperation. We see bad trades in the NFL happen all the time. But, yeah, Bill O'Brien, he's up against it there in Houston. I don't know why they think he's such a valuable commodity. It's not like he wins at a high level either. So they've created a real situation for themselves there in Houston where they're looking at an Andrew Luck situation in the near term if they don't protect Deshaun Watson. So I got to imagine that was some of the motivation. But that was a horrible deal from a Texans perspective. Now, are they better today? Yeah, they're a little bit better today. But also you look at the other side of the football, Paul. They lost Jadeveon Clowney. They traded Jadeveon Clowney away, who was the number one pick in the draft in 2014, and all they got back for him was a third-round pick. That's it, a third-round pick for a guy you took number one overall if you were the Houston Texans. That franchise is just completely dysfunctional.
That is insane, Clowney. Okay, here. So question number two, defense, Bennett, Collins, Kamala, bam, slam, uh-oh, ma'am. Can you think of another team, just preliminary, that has a better chance of having sacks in the double digits than the New England Patriots?
Well, Chicago's got a pretty good pass rush still. I mean, that's a team with Khalil Mack on the outside, and that Chicago team was absolutely devastating last year. And appreciate the call, Paul. You can grab his line if you'd like it at 617-779-7937. You try to think of some of the premier defenses in the NFL as we enter the 2019 season. Another team that jumps out off the page at me is Dallas. Dallas has somehow, you know what's shocking to me? Dallas has somehow turned into like an actual decent organization. I can't believe I said that with Jerry Jones running the team. Like, this team is, Dallas is loaded. Now, whether or not you believe in Dak Prescott, I mean, I guess that's somewhat the main question. But think about it. Jerry Jones has actually turned into, like, a tough executive to the point where he's going to play chicken like he did with Emmitt Smith with Ezekiel Elliott. And here's the thing for Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott's in a tough situation here with his contract, because if you look at the Cowboys' schedule to open up the season, it's not exactly like the Cowboys are playing tough teams to begin the year. So the Cowboys are going to be in a situation where they play the Giants to open things up, who suck. They go to Washington. That team sucks. And then they're at home for Miami. So Zeke is holding out looking for this new contract, right? And Jerry Jones is calling his bluff because he's saying, we're going to run the ball well against New York, Washington, and Miami. So, Zeke, if you want to come get your money, if you want to miss out on your money, fine, but I'm not giving you a contract now. So he's actually not going to pay him and make him the highest paid running back right now. Jerry Jones. So it's unbelievable to me that Jerry is the one that's saying, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to give you that big term contract or that long term contract, the stability that Zeke wants. Not to mention the fact you look at that roster. They are loaded in terms of the defense. Leighton Vander Esch, they got in the first round last year. That kid's a stud. Jalen Smith, they drafted in the second round a couple of years ago, or third round, whatever it was. They took a flyer on him. The kid out of Notre Dame with serious knee damage, and they didn't even know if he was going to be able to play at a high level, and he just got a huge contract extension. DeMarcus Lawrence is a stud up front for them. Byron Jones is a stud on the back end. So somehow Dallas has built like a really damn good roster over the past couple of years, and that defense last year was really good, and I would imagine they're going to take even another step forward as we enter the 2019 season. So to answer Paul's question about the other great defenses in the NFL, you know what you have with the Bears. That team is loaded from a defensive perspective. Baltimore lost some pass rushers, but on the back end, they improved with an Earl Thomas. They're always good. And then you think about it, the Chargers have the personnel with Bosa and with Ingram. Quite frankly, I don't believe in Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator. But those would be the teams that jump off the top with me. Tennessee is also really good. They don't have the elite pass rushers up front. But if you look at Tennessee, they were really stable in the back end last year after Malcolm Butler kind of figured it out. You have Logan Ryan there as well. And Harold Landry, the kid out of Boston College, they expect to take a step forward this year. So Tennessee will add up a solid defense. And Jacksonville, of course. We know Jacksonville will be there as well. Whether or not their quarterback can figure it out, Nick Foles, if he's actually worth that contract, that's a question still to be answered. But in terms of the defenses around the NFL, to answer Paul's question, I would say the Bears, the Titans are going to be good, Jacksonville is going to be good, and I would put the Chargers in that conversation from what they have on paper. Oh, and the Eagles. How could I forget the Eagles? The Eagles are going to be good. And Denver. Denver, now that you bring in Vic Fangio and you know what you have with Chubb and you know what you have with Von Miller as well. All right, if you want to hop on board, the number is 617-779-7937. If this thing works for Miami, do you think that it'll be a trend in the NFL? More teams will try to tank. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
93.7 FM. WEEI.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. If you want to hop on board, the number is 617-779-7937. One other thing I have to point out real quickly before I get to something else about this Jacoby Brissett contract. So Ian Rapoport originally tweeted, the Colts and Jacoby Brissett have agreed to terms on a two-year extension worth $30 million. He gets $20 million guaranteed at signing, some security for the new Indy starter. Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network covers the league. He retweets or quote tweets, whatever you, however you terminologize that, or that's not a word, however you term that. So Tom Pelissero quote tweets, security for the Colts too, knowing they're not staring down a franchise tag in March if Brissett plays the way they think he can. Oh my God. You got to be kidding me if you're Tom Pelissero. They're protecting themselves from having to give a franchise tag to Jacoby Brissett. So the Colts think that Jacoby Brissett's that good that he can demand the franchise tag, or he can demand such a high number. The Colts think he's that good that he may be playing for a franchise tag next year. Give me a break. Yeah, real security for the Colts. They're making sure they don't have to give Jacoby Brissett a franchise tag next year. A guy that was 4-11 as a starter. A guy that completed 58% of his passes 2 years ago. Yeah, that's what the Colts are worried about. They're really worried about the fact they may have to franchise Jacoby Brissett because he's going to be demanding $30 million next season. Jeez. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to you, Andre on the Cape. What's up, Andre?
Yeah, how you doing this afternoon? I just want to touch on, you know, the idea that the Dallas Cowboys defense and their team overall is going to take a step forward this year with Ezekiel Elliott holding out. First of all, without Ezekiel Elliott there chewing up 5 yards on first down and leading the league in rushing two of the last 3 years, their defense is going to be spending a lot more time.
Andre, hold on. I never said they're taking a step forward without Ezekiel Elliott. I said that this roster is loaded. I'm just saying I'm shocked that Jerry Jones is actually being smart about the contract with Zeke. Eventually, he's going to get a contract done, but he's not caving to Zeke's demands. You shouldn't be paying a running back the amount of money Ezekiel Elliott wants. That's all I'm saying. They're obviously a significantly better team with Ezekiel Elliott back on the football field. And quite frankly, Andre, I believe if Zeke Elliott misses a couple of games for Dallas, it may be good for the long-term stability of the season because he's going to be healthier down the stretch.
Yeah, indeed. And you're 100% right that their team is loaded. They've done a great job of drafting Vander Esch, Lawrence, and others. But again, if Zeke is not there, you know, not only is he leading, but he is chewing up clock, and he's keeping that defense off the field. And we have not seen Dak Prescott, frankly, be able to win games on his own, just, you know, without this star back out there.
Andre, I agree with you, because if you think back to that season a couple of years ago, remember when Zeke was serving that 6-game suspension for violating the NFL's conduct policy? Remember, the Cowboys that year went 3-3 when he was out of the lineup, and they ended up missing the playoffs for the time that Zeke was basically suspended. That's why they missed the playoffs.
Indeed, in that first game against Atlanta, you know, it was quite glaringly apparent, you know, what their success is without Zeke Elliott. Dak Prescott looked absolutely awful, and, you know, he's blitzing them, tons of sacks, so on and forth. So, that's just...
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Andre. You can grab his line if you like at 617-779-7937. It would have made the Patriots' schedule even easier if they were playing the Cowboys early in the season, because they play Dallas on November 24th. So that would be what, like a couple days after Thanksgiving? So what's that?
I think it's a couple days before Thanksgiving.
Okay, a couple days before
the end of the month.
Okay, yeah, so Thanksgiving will be the following Thursday. So they play them the last week of November, the 24th. And if they had played Dallas at the beginning of the season from a Patriots perspective, there would have been an opportunity to miss Ezekiel Elliott actually being on the football field. But in terms of Dallas, I agree with what Andre's saying. They need Zeke on the field to perform at a high level. And really, the other thing with the Cowboys is they're going to have to ultimately give Zeke his money. Now, they're not going to give him the money that he wants, but they're going to have to pay him because you picked him fourth overall. If you pick a running back that early in the draft, you have to give him the money, right? Because other teams can look at it and say, yeah, we don't really value the running back position that much. Clearly, Dallas does. They drafted him with the fourth overall selection. And quite frankly, he's been the best running back in the league over the past 3 years. Past 3 years, he has led the league in rushing yards per game. And two out of the 3 years, he's led the league in rushing in totality. The only year he didn't was the year he was suspended for 6 games. Their offense is built around Ezekiel Elliott. And quite frankly, I don't believe that Dak Prescott is carrying this team to anything significant as the quarterback. So you're going to need that consistency from the running game with Ezekiel Elliott. It is fun, though, when the Cowboys are relevant. I hope the Cowboys have a really good record when the Patriots and the Cowboys face off in week 12 of the season, because I do like to see Jerry Jones lose. That is something that I definitely do enjoy, seeing Jerry Jones and his team lose football games. Think about this. You realize that Jerry Jones has media availability after every game. So, like, normally we see how Bill Belichick has to go to the podium after every game. Tom Brady goes to the podium after every game. Jerry Jones loves Jerry Jones so much that he makes himself available to the media after each and every game. What other owner in the NFL does that? The answer is none of them. No other owner in the NFL. Certainly there's times where you see Robert Kraft, he'll talk to the media, but he doesn't have a press conference after every single damn game. That's what Jerry Jones does. He literally has a press conference after every game that the Cowboys play. All right, the number 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board here. I don't know how we got on the Cowboys. Oh, yeah, because we're talking about the defenses around the NFL. Anyway, I wanted to get to one other thing about Brian Hoyer. So Albert Breer wrote an article right after the Super Bowl in Sports Illustrated, and this was Jason McCourty, a direct quote from Jason McCourty on Brian Hoyer. Hoyer's been crucial. Hoyer's not a scout team quarterback from the standpoint where, okay, here's the card, here's what I circled, I'm going to throw the ball here. Hoyer lines up and says, here's the card, but this is just a route concept. He's reading our defense for what he thinks it is. If it's cover three, I'm going here. So the whole time he's reading and reacting. So I think for us as a defense, if something gets carved up in practice, it's, hey, Hoyer, what were you seeing there? Okay, that's something we need to adjust to and look to at that standpoint. So that's Jason McCourty saying how important Brian Hoyer was to the Patriots scout team over the past couple of years. Devin McCourty said this, quote, "He deserves a lot of credit for the way the defense played in big games," end quote. This is right after the Super Bowl, after they had beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. Remember, he impersonated Jared Goff as the Patriots were getting ready for that Super Bowl game, and they gave him a ton of credit. I'm wondering this. So if you look at it last year, Brian Hoyer running the scout team, Ben Roethlisberger in whatever it was, week 15, whatever the case may be, late in the season, I get the Patriots lost to the Steelers, but they only put up 17 points to the Steelers with a high-octane offense, and Ben Roethlisberger was picked off twice, and they sacked him twice. In the Super Bowl, Jared Goff, 19 of 38, completed just 50% of his passes, threw for 229 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. In the AFC divisional round against the Chargers, again, Brian Hoyer was the scout team quarterback, this time impersonating Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers did throw for 331 yards, but it was all in garbage time because remember the Patriots were up 35-7 at half. So in that game that Philip Rivers threw for 331 yards, he threw the ball 51 times. He was 25 of 51, so do the math on that. That's 49% in terms of his completion percentage. So I lay that all out to say this. The defense really appreciated the work that Brian Hoyer did on the scout team. So I'm wondering if there is a time this season where the defense doesn't look like the defense is playing at a high level, if this scout team thing will actually become a talking point, a narrative here. I'm not talking within the walls of the Patriots building. I'm not saying that the Patriots will actually bring this up and say, oh, this is a problem. We need Hoyer. Hoyer was so good running the scout team. But I'm wondering, in this town, with the amount of media personalities we have, will this actually become a talking point? If the Patriots defense is not performing well, will it become a talking point? Will people bring up the fact that Jarrett Stidham is running the scout team and he's only a rookie quarterback? And Brian Hoyer was so good at running the scout team last year. He played such a pivotal role for the Patriots in terms of getting ready for big games. He played a huge role for the defense last year. Devin McCourty gave him a ton of credit. Jason McCourty gave him a ton of credit. So is this actually a topic of conversation that will come up this year if the defense has any sort of struggles where we say, hey, remember last year what they had? Remember when the Patriots are getting ready for Philip Rivers, they had a veteran in here in Brian Hoyer getting the scout team ready or playing for the scout team, getting the defense ready. Remember during the Super Bowl, they had Brian Hoyer impersonating Jared Goff, doing his best impersonation of Goff. And hey, Devin McCourty, Jason McCourty, etc., they give him a ton of credit for what Brian Hoyer was able to do. I'm wondering if that becomes a storyline, especially now. How about early on in the season? So the Patriots, we all know, get ready to play a week from yesterday on Sunday Night Football, an 8:20 kickoff, which, by the way, it's way too damn late. I don't understand why the NFL does. These should be 7:20 game. I don't know why you need an 8:20 kickoff. And look, I'm going to be watching the game either way. I'm sure a lot of you are, but why do you need an 8:20 kickoff in the NFL and the game's going to end like around midnight? It's too late from my perspective. I've always said that the best time zone to watch games is in the central time zone because the night games are at 7:20. But nonetheless, I digress. Getting back to the original point. So say hypothetically coming off that game, Ben Roethlisberger in week one without Antonio Brown, he has Juju Smith-Schuster, he has James Washington, who has been emerging during the preseason, and I get it, it's the preseason, but this is a guy that the Steelers took in the second round last year, a guy that came in with a lot of high praise coming out of Oklahoma State, put up crazy numbers at the collegiate level. So if he comes into Foxborough, and on Sunday Night Football, Ben Roethlisberger puts up a crooked number on this Patriots defense, okay? And think about this. This is when this is a fresh situation. This is week one of the season. Brian Hoyer was just cut on, what, Saturday? He signed with the Colts today. So if the Patriots play poorly from a defensive perspective against the Steelers on opening night, do you think that people in the national media, and more in particular in the local media, will bring up the fact that Brian Hoyer wasn't running the scout team and that it was Jarrett Stidham running the scout team? I really do think that they will. I really think, and from my perspective, it's not a factor whatsoever. It really isn't. I don't care what Brian Hoyer did to the scout team last year or did for the scout team. I understand that he was great impersonating guys. Christian Fourier brought up this point last week. They said the same thing about Damon Heward in 2003, where Damon Heward was running the scout team and he was impersonating Peyton Manning. In fact, Christian pointed out he got a game ball after one of the games they won. He got a game ball after they beat the Colts in the postseason, okay? So, yeah, he was played a critical role, but why can't Jarrett Stidham do the same thing? So I don't think it's an issue for the Patriots whatsoever. Jarrett Stidham is a more talented quarterback than Brian Hoyer. I get he hasn't been in the league forever, but he should be able to execute what you need to from a scout team perspective. But I do guarantee this, and I guess maybe this conversation will never become relevant because the Patriots in all likelihood are going to beat the Steelers. But just say hypothetically, Ben Roethlisberger comes in on Sunday Night Football. Remember, the Patriots have lost this opener before. They lost it to the Chiefs a couple of seasons ago to Alex Smith, etc. So if the Patriots do perform poorly on ring, or not ring night, they got their rings, but on banner night, on opening night, if they perform poorly and Ben Roethlisberger lights them up and Juju Smith-Schuster goes for like 120, 130 yards, James Washington has a nice game. And remember Jalen Samuels, that dude came out of nowhere last year and ran for like 140 yards on the Patriots. So if the defense looks bad, I guarantee you that on Monday morning, this will be a talking point. A week from today, this will be a talking point. Brian Hoyer's value to the scout team, which I think is absolutely ridiculous to bring up. But I guarantee you, members of the media in Boston will bring this up as an issue with the Patriots. All right, the number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board. Another issue that I want to get to for the Red Sox, I'll get to that in just a little bit. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and 10 minutes or so. The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board here. We're less than a week away from the Patriots opening up the season, and they'll be doing so without Brian Hoyer. It's a tragedy today. It really is. It really is a tragedy. Brian Hoyer, now a member of the Indianapolis Colts. It'll be Jarrett Stidham as the backup quarterback for the Patriots going forward. The number is 617-779-7937. Let's get to Rob. He's in New Hampshire. What's up, Rob?
How you doing there?
Good.
I was curious what you thought about this effect on Brady. I know Brady was in an interview. I heard it on, I think, national news, whatever, that he was asked a question about Stidham, but he really said how much he loved Brian Hoyer. Do you think this will have any impact on Brady as far as what you might think he'll do?
Rob,
leaving the Pats?
No, Rob, I don't think it'll have any effect on Brady. Like, he's not going to make a big deal of it, but I guarantee you that behind closed doors, Brady is pissed off because what Brian Hoyer provided for Brady was security because he knows that Brian Hoyer is no threat to at any point taking his job. He's 33. He's a journeyman. He's had his chance to start. He couldn't deliver. He's back here, not to mention Brady's friends with him. And you mentioned it. He was on Greg Hill's show last week, and he brought up how great Hoyer was for the room. So he went out of his way to kind of prop up Brian Hoyer to make him look like somebody that he clearly wanted on the team. So I would imagine that Brady's pretty pissed behind closed doors, and I'm sure he'll complain to somebody about it, but I don't think it's going to affect his actual performance on the field whatsoever. But I guarantee you that he's upset that they got rid of Hoyer.
I agree. I'm just curious if you think it will have any impact on whether he would maybe take this kid under his wing or whether it may actually make him leave next year.
Oh, you mean like an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre situation where Favre wouldn't talk to him? Brady's too good of a guy to do that, but I don't think he's going to teach him all the trade secrets, right, Rob? He's not going to make sure, he's not going to go out of his way to make Stidham better, but I don't think it's going to be any type of weird dynamic. Like, there was times where Rodgers felt uncomfortable talking to Favre. I don't think it'll be any type of dynamic like that whatsoever, but I'm sure that Brady's not thinking, I got to help Jarrett Stidham get ready for when eventually he takes over my job. He's not going to do that whatsoever. He's focused on winning. If Stidham asks him a question, he's going to answer it, but I don't think it's going to be uncomfortable or anything along those lines. I don't think Brady could tolerate a relationship like that, quite frankly, Rob. He's too good of a guy, don't you think?
Absolutely, and I do agree with you. I think he must be pissed.
Yeah, he definitely is. And I appreciate the phone call, Rob. Thanks for listening. His line's open at 617-779-7937. Brady's got to be pissed behind closed doors from so many different angles. So first of all, like I said, the first part of it is Brian Hoyer was security for Tom Brady. He knew that Brian Hoyer was never going to be a threat for him whatsoever. So if they kept three quarterbacks on the roster, Brian Hoyer naturally would have been the backup quarterback. That's why you would have kept him around, right? The only reason to keep him around if he's the backup. If he's the third string guy, you don't need him in the locker room. You don't need him with the team. So you keep him around if he's the backup, and Brady knows if he's the backup, he gets the second team reps, not to mention the fact that he runs the scout team. So Hoyer gets all the opportunities to play during practice, and Stidham doesn't. So that prevents Stidham from getting better and eventually trying to compete for Tom Brady's job eventually, or at least Bill Belichick looking at Stidham as possibly the future of this organization. So there's that element to that where Stidham is a legitimate threat, not in the short term, but in the long term. He is a threat to Tom Brady keeping his job, right? If he develops really, really quickly, Belichick may eventually say in 2 years or a year and a half, I want Stidham to be the guy. Whatever the case may be, he is at least somewhat of a threat to Brady in the long term. Just like in 2014, Jimmy Garoppolo was a threat to Tom Brady when they drafted him in, what, the second round. He was a threat to, if Brady decided or if Brady faltered and Brady started to show his age, then Jimmy Garoppolo would take over, right? So he is that threat. The other thing that I think would irritate Brady is Brian Hoyer's like one of his only friends on the, not one of his only friends, but in terms of his age, like one of the closer guys in age to Brady. He's 33. Like Hoyer's close to Brady in age compared to the rest of these guys that are 21, 22. Now, Brady's a great teammate. Everybody loves the guy, but I mean, it must be nice having somebody with some of the same issues that you have on an everyday life standpoint, right? Where Brady can talk to Brian Hoyer about his kids and that different type of stuff. Not that other guys don't have kids, but he's been married for a long time. You get it. Like those two guys bond. They're in the quarterback room the past 2 years together. They were in the quarterback room when they were earlier in their career as well, especially in the case of Hoyer. So there's a camaraderie there. There's a friendship there. So I'm sure he's upset from that perspective as well. So for both those reasons, Brady's probably upset with this situation. The one thing I'll say though is if you really think about it, when did Brady get super into the TB12 brand? He was always trying to build it, but he got super into his health, so to speak, and the pliability and making sure that his body was going to be able to sustain long-term success in the NFL when Jimmy Garoppolo got here. That's when Brady really turned it up to another level, right? Because Brady had some years in there that weren't great. I mean, they were good for any other quarterback, but for Brady years, like he's been better the last 3 years than he was like before 2014, where he really turned it back on again. But there were some years in there like 2012, 2013 where he was good, but he got even better like later on in his career. And I have to imagine that some of that was Garoppolo nipping at his heels. Garoppolo trying to ultimately take over as the Patriots franchise quarterback for the foreseeable future. I have to imagine some of that motivates Brady. So now that Hoyer is out of the equation, Brady has so many different elements that can motivate him from an on-the-field standpoint. First one is what Bill Belichick did to him in the offseason when Belichick didn't give him the long-term security that he wanted in a contract, right? Because we can clearly acknowledge that Brady wanted at least 2 to 3 more years on that deal, and he only got one. Okay, Brady settled for basically being able to pick his freedom in a year or being able to become a free agent and not get franchised, which I don't think was too much of a concession from Bill Belichick's perspective. He's probably like, all right, fine. We don't use the franchise tag anyway here, Tom. We never use it. So go ahead. We can take the franchise tag off the books. So I believe Belichick won that contract negotiation, and I think that's part of what Brady would be motivated about this year. He wants to put up a great season in terms of the statistics and obviously on the field success. He wants to win, and he wants to be able to present that to Bill Belichick when he goes into negotiating next time and say, look at what I did. I want the most possible money because you wouldn't give me security last time around. So there's that element to it that basically is going to motivate Brady for the upcoming season. There is also, of course, always the factor that he wants to add another ring to his collection. And also there's now this thing that, at least in the eyes of the coach, it looks like there may be a replacement in-house again. Because for the past couple of years, ever since the Patriots traded away Jimmy Garoppolo to the San Francisco 49ers, there hasn't been a replacement in-house for Tom Brady, or at least the possibility of a replacement in-house, because that's ultimately what Jimmy Garoppolo was. He was the future of the organization in the eyes of Bill Belichick. And when you look at it now, Jarrett Stidham may not be ready this year, may not be ready next year, but at least what there is now is there somebody in-house that Bill Belichick thinks could possibly be the replacement for Tom Brady in the future? So I would have to imagine, just knowing everything we know about Tom Brady and how competitive Tom Brady is, that having a guy like Jarrett Stidham there is going to motivate Brady even more. If there are ways to motivate Brady, Bill Belichick has found them this offseason. He doesn't have the long-term stability in terms of the contract, and now he has a guy that could ultimately take Brady's job. So if Bill Belichick was looking for ways to motivate Tom Brady at the age of 42, after three MVPs and after six Super Bowls, he has found ways this offseason. He has found two of them, not giving him the deal and having Jarrett Stidham as the lone other quarterback on this roster. And that is the genius of Belichick. I mean, it's amazing. You motivate Brady at the age of 42. Pretty amazing. All right, a lot more to get into, including one example of the Red Sox being way behind the eight ball. You're listening to Brian Barrett. The number 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board right here on WEI.
Bill Belichick has his new Jimmy G, his new next Brady.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.